Big Night.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller at Tito's Handmade Vodka. In the mid-90s, I bought a piece of land in Austin with a credit card check and built the very first micro distillery in the history of the state of Texas. I'd never built a still before, so I did some research and designed and built my own pot stills based on Prohibition-era bust photos I found in the library. I didn't know then that this was kind of the start of the American craft distilling movement right here in Austin, Texas. Cheers. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. Tito'sVodka.com.
If you love football, yelling at television screens with friends, and wearing clothing with someone else's name on it, there's a seat waiting for you at Buffalo Wild Wings, where you can enjoy football food and football beverages on our new $5 game day menu. Cheeseburger and fries, brats, cocktails, and pitchers of beer are just $5 each. Escape to football and the new $5 game day menu at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation vary by location. Not valid with any other offer. Please drink responsibly.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes. Warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank. Where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. And you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Miracles happen every day at Wayside Waifs. Thousands of abandoned and abused animals come to Kansas City's largest no-kill pet adoption campus for life-saving medical care, shelter, and love. Rescued from dire situations, puppy mills, and natural disasters, while others are surrendered by families who can no longer care for them. Wayside needs your support to continue saving lives. Donate online and your gift will be matched. Be a part of the miracle. Go to waysidewaves.org and make a tax-deductible donation now.
Weekly Patrick Mahomes conversations for breakfast. 610 Sports Radio. KZSB Kansas City. KRBZ HD2 Kansas City. A radio.com station.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Bink at night with no Bink. Instead, it's Pete and Sean at night. Pete Sweeney, Sean Barber, Chris Unocero behind the glass. And Sean, I got a text I have to read to you.
All right, I'm ready.
Regarding the top 10 Christmas songs of all time list from the 816 on the Protein House Heat with Purpose text line. Pete, other than the middle three songs, you have the whitest Christmas top 10 song list of all time. Ha ha. Merry Christmas to you, you all.
Well, your number five song was I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, and I think that is representative of your top 10 list. Because I saw Temptations Silent Night didn't make it. Stevie Wonder, What Christmas Means to Me didn't make
it.
When
I'm picking Christmas songs out, I see no color. I'm just giving you the best music.
Boys to Men, Let It Snow. Boys to Men, Let It Snow. Let it snow. Let it. Come on, man. You know.
You don't know. You don't know how much is in my top 10, top 20, I mean, top 40.
Yeah, no, we didn't do that. We did top 10.
Yeah, you got to get the Boys to Men Temptations, and you got to get Run DMC in there somewhere. We're going to let you redo it next year.
See you 1 year.
Let's not.
Give
I'll
a redo.
See you. Let's not.
Chris?
It
Sean,
need a
I'll see you 1 year from tonight. Same time, same almonds, same top 10 list.
No, I'm doing the top 10 next year. I got that. For the listeners.
It's going to be every cartoon song you ever heard.
No. Yeah, no, I'm going to have some cartoons in there, but most of them going to be, we're going to have some Motown in there too.
So Andy Reid spoke in a conference call on Monday, and I thought he gave some nuggets that maybe we previously weren't certain about. Coming from Sunday night after the loss, 38-31 to the Seahawks. First thing that jumped out to me was Charvarius Ward versus Orlando Scandrick. I know Scandrick didn't play on Sunday, but I think I had been wondering if they were going to play Charvarius moving forward or if it was just a trial. Here again was Andy Reid after the game about playing young guys.
There were some good things or some things we can learn from. I played some young guys tonight that I wanted to just get a look at, that I thought could help us a bit. They had some learning experiences, but they battled through.
and you know, there were some good things in the mix of it. We have to learn from that and get better at it. Those are young guys that are in those positions doing that, and you know, there's some things that they can take out of this to, you know, to make them better down the road. But they were in position. You just got to make the play. So that's the bottom line, and we've got to do better at that.
And then on the conference call now on Monday, after he saw the tape and watched the plays, this is what he had to say of Ward. There are some things he can learn, but he was in position to make plays. Now we can hone that up a little bit. That, I thought, was a positive thing coming out and something where we can continue to get better with more experience. It'll be good to get Fuller back in the mix there at nickel spot and corner, but in particular during those nickel situations. But then he went on to say he thinks it's just a matter of playing time a bit with Ward, and it led me to believe that we're going to see Ward over Skandrick. Do you like that move by Andy Reid?
I mean, I do. I think that, you know, based off of just top level, you know, at, you know, playing at your best, we, you know, Orlando Skandrick is a proven veteran. He's long in the tooth. He has years. And it's just certain things he doesn't do great, you know, and one of the things you see time after time is when it comes time to finish the play, right, he's been targeted, the ball's coming his way, and time again we see him at the end of the play either looking to the refs to, you know, why something wasn't called, but he's not finishing the play. He's not battling throughout the down. We can take the PIs. I can take some pass interferences. Those are aggressive calls. You know, if you get flagged from being overly aggressive, sometimes we can take that. But at the end of a play, when the receiver goes to the ground, you have an opportunity to go to the ground with him and fight him throughout
that process. You saw Tremont Smith do it.
Exactly. And those opportunities, like, that's part of playing football. That's part of being a professional and finishing. You have to finish every play. And when you see that not happening, that's when you open up to, well, if you're not going to do it, we can move on to somebody and give somebody else a chance to see if they're willing to compete. And every time I saw Traverius out there, you know, like you said, he was in position to make plays, whether he, you know, was a count or a second leg punching the ball or putting his hand through the arms of the receiver. I mean, the balls that were caught on him was very well placed. The perfect pass is not defendable. If the ball is thrown to the outside shoulder of the receiver and he's able to make the catch, I mean, it's no coverage for great throw, great timing, great hands. You just want your guys to be able to compete throughout the down. And I think that he did that at a high level. And he has a skill set as far as mirroring technique and feet and his ball abilities to make plays on the ball that I think as he plays more and more, we'll see those things coming to the surface a lot more.
I think given Ward was told earlier in the week he would probably start with Fuller injury, so on and so forth, and what we heard from Reid, I just think you look in the playing time. Ron Parker inactive. Orlando Skandrick did not play. Ward's probably the guy moving forward. And really, when it comes down to it, you never thought you'd be saying this. A big key in the Chiefs' Super Bowl push could be Charvarius Ward, the rookie they traded for prior to the season. I think a big thing from the conference call also was from Reid's message about the status of the Chiefs. Reid says, "Last time I checked, we were in pretty good position here. I know it can become a woe me thing, and this is how it happens. That can be negative. I feel like throughout the team, though, the guys understand where they're at and what they need to do to fix it, and the objective is to win games. We have one game left here in the regular season, and it's important we take care of business. There's a very small margin between winning and losing in the National Football League. Things can change quickly, so it's important that the attitude is right. Kansas City's had a lot of up and down, so our people, coaches, players are willing to make a change, so we have an opportunity to do that, and we're all on board with that." Really, it's a big message. It almost seemed like to me, and Reid didn't say this directly, so this is just what I'm taking away from it. He looked at the team prior to the Seattle game and said, "We're going to go for this thing, and we may be making some changes here. We may be playing some younger guys, but we're going full throttle." And, you know, they go and they end up losing the game, but it seems like Reid just wants to tell Kansas City, "Hey, guys, relax a little bit."
Well, I mean, I think that goes back to the whole, you know, at the beginning of the season. You don't know what anybody else's record's going to be when you start off week one. But I think that if you fast forward and gave anybody in the kingdom a chance to say, "Hey, lay your bets down right now. I'm going to guarantee you that come the last game of the season, if we win, we have the number one seed in the AFC." 100 out of 100 fans would have took that. "Oh, that's great. We'll take it. No matter how you get there, Orlando, Kendrell, with or without Hunt, who, no matter what happened in the roster, If you told us we were going to be playing week 17 with the chance of winning and getting the first top seed, the number one seed in the AFC, everybody would have took it. And along the way as a coach, it's certain things you got to find out about your team. Certain things on the offense, defense, and special teams, you got to find out what you got, because come playoffs, there's no do-overs. You got to know exactly how, like you're saying, you're talking about bullets in your gun, you got to know exactly what you got in the pantry. You got to know what you got in the refrigerator. You don't have chances. There is no second. There is no do-overs. So if you have an opportunity to get some young guys out there and play and find out what they can and can't do in a situation where, you know, high pressure at Seattle on the road, I mean, that's going to be the mentality of Atlanta. When you playing in Atlanta, both teams are on the road. No home team advantage. No home field advantage. But the pressure, some guys can't handle the pressure. And what I saw from 35, what I saw from Ward in this game, is he can handle the pressure. All he has to do is get in a little bit better position, do a few coaching things a little bit better. But he's going to compete. He's going to battle. There's nobody across the ball that he's fearful of or flinching. He lined up against Baldwin and challenged him as a man. He lined up against Lockett and challenged him as a man. I like that type of aggressive and that type of attitude from a young guy.
You know what I think is silly, but it's almost a little telling, too, about Trevarius? Sharkhandrick West came back to this team, and he didn't get his number back. Trevarius kept the 35. Sharkhandrick's 30. I know it's a little small thing, but I think it's a little bit telling of where they are as far as importance on this football team right now. I mean, Sharkhandrick West is a third back when someone's hurt. And I look towards that. And then just another thing about what you're saying when it comes to playing week 17 with basically everything on the line. A lot of times it does, at least when you're feeling it and you're watching it as a fan and a follower of the team, a lot of things depend on how you get there in the road. I remember 2014. That was the only time the Chiefs didn't make the playoffs in Andy Reid's tenure. They had to win three games in a row, and they go and drop that one in week 16, the Pittsburgh Steelers. But they end up winning the last game, needing a little bit of help. They don't get it. They don't make the playoffs. But you still felt a little bit better having them won the last game. I always thought back to that season, and especially right after it, and I said, you know, if they lose that week 17 game to miss the playoffs, that season feels a lot different than, okay, it was another building year where 9-7 we missed, but we'll be back next year.
Oh, definitely. And what we know going into the playoffs with the number one seed, you're gonna be missing a week off anyway. And the last thing you want to do is what we call it backslide into the playoffs. You don't want to lose, you know, two of your last three. Somebody else loses. You end up, you know, getting a week off, because that's just another week to think about how you lost that game, why you didn't close out strong. All those questions and doubts and all that everyone has from a national viewpoint of your team. Can you, you know, beat whoever's coming into your building after the bye week? When you go out and take care of business with a win, you put a stamp on the season. You put a stamp on exactly, and we're at home. So we can create, we can put out there to the national media and everybody who's even thinking about coming into Arrowhead exactly what it's going to be like this Sunday against the Raiders. The fan base, the sea of red, needs to be at its all-time, like, primed and ready to go. It should be a playoff atmosphere, so we can, you know, let the Ravens or the Chargers or whoever's coming in here, when the playoff starts here in Kansas City, we want them to know exactly how tough it's going to be playing in our stadium and playing our Kansas City Chiefs.
One last thing I want to hit on before we go to break. Patrick Mahomes seemed a little bit overhyped again on Sunday Night Football, and Reid was asked point blank, do you think it's him being overhyped in these big-time games? Reid said, I don't think that's it. He just throws a little different. It's not like he's throwing them in the dirt or throwing them out of the stadium. That's not what he's doing. You take the first throw that he had yesterday, that thing is 2 inches away from being a touchdown. The kid doesn't get a hand on it. Tyreek is gone. It was a good decision to try to shape it around the guy, and the guy made a good play. Okay on that one. But that Travis Kelce pass, that one should have been a touchdown. And, you know, you play the hypotheticals and the what-ifs. Maybe it's a different game. Sean, do you, when you watch Mahomes in these big games, think he's maybe a little overhyped?
No, I think Mahomes is probably his worst critic. You know, he's going to be tough on himself than anybody can be on him. And that's the sign of not only a good leader, a great leader. You know, the things the coaches are trying to make sure they teach him and correct him about, his thing, he's already gone over these things in his head. And I think that's what – when you talk about how excited Andy Reid is to have a quarterback like this, it's a quarterback where he can speak he can speak the same language as Andy Reid. Never before probably has Andy had a quarterback who can process coverages and formations and anticipations and then also have the arm strength to get it where it needs to be to make defenses pay. And so Andy has probably had to, like, water down a lot of his conversations, a lot of the game time, you know, in between possessions. You don't want to overcoach a quarterback and have him go out there the next possession and be confused. So when you see Andy on the bench now talking with Pat and stuff, he probably had wanted to do that with McNabb, wanted to do that with Alex Smith, wanted to do that with a lot of other quarterbacks. But from not wanting to mess up that quarterback's mind frame, he probably felt it was best to wait until halftime, wait until, you know, we have a chance to sit down and really talk it out to make sure we're on the same page. But with Pat Mahomes, because he has that high-speed network, his brain works like a computer, Andy can talk to him real time and make the adjustments, and then the next series they're out there making that adjustment and going forth. So I think Andy really loves that, the way he can communicate with Pat, and the way Pat reacts to that coaching and that you know, that tutelage is just amazing. And so, no, I don't think it was the start of the game being too excited, too hype. I just think it was an overthrow. He overthrew it. No one's perfect.
Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs will try to get home field advantage and a number one seed throughout when they take on the Oakland Raiders this Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. We know they're going to be in the playoffs, even if the Raiders were to upset them. I want to talk about who the Chiefs cannot afford to lose in this playoff stretch, and we'll do that when we come back next.
Bink at night.
It's Christmas night, and we're taking it to 9 o'clock. Pete Sweeney here with Sean Barber filling in for Jay Binkley. Bink at night. And, of course, it being Christmas night, we're right in the final stretch of the NFL season. And one thing we do know about the Chiefs, if you're saying we don't know how good they're going to be, what seed they're going to be in the playoffs, if you're one of those non-believers now, with Oakland Raiders coming to town on Sunday, we do know they will be in the postseason. And so I want to talk about guys the Chiefs cannot afford under any circumstances to lose heading into the postseason if you want to make a true Super Bowl run. So we can go a little bit more of a round table than we did with the gifts. I'm going to try to be a little bit better than that.
I was getting ready to zip through 5-1 to make sure I get mine in.
Let's go at number five first. Who's your number five guy the Chiefs cannot afford to lose?
Mitch Schwartz.
This is not Mahomes, by the way.
No, not Mahomes.
That's a big asterisk.
Mahomes not included. It's Mitch Schwartz. He's one of the offensive line key components on the offensive line. Both our tackles are both important. But I think Mitch has been the Pro Bowl guy. He's been the guy who's been playing at a Pro Bowl level. And I think that's one of the key components on our offensive line that we can't move on without.
I like that pick. And it's upsetting, too, that Mitch was denied a Pro Bowl bid and Eric Fisher got it. And Chandler Jones ate him up earlier this year. He had a tough game last game against the Seahawks. And Mitch Schwartz is just a guy you never talk about. And when you're not talking about offensive linemen, like referees, that's a good thing.
Exactly.
My number five guy is Chris Jones. I just think he is now... And this is tough to say. I think he's now surpassed D Ford for the best defensive player on the team. I think he's one of the up-and-coming defensive players in the league. There's only one other player in the league with more sacks than Chris Jones. It's Aaron Donald. He is really your pass rush from that interior. I think if you have Chris Jones, if you end up, you know, you were to lose him, that would be a grave, grave loss. Chris, you have any answer for this?
I'd say Schwartz. He's your best tackle right now. And the thing is for a guy like him, like, you really need somebody that's going to be an anchor on that line, especially coming for, because, like, Mahomes is very good at sensing pressure, but, you know, sometimes he dances around. Sometimes he starts keeping his eyes down the field. You need somebody that you can trust to keep him upright, especially because we're seeing a lot of edge rushers, not only on the, you know, going after the left side of the offensive line, but there's a lot of guys who are really good coming off the right side of the offensive line. So you got to have someone that you can trust on that outside. And so I'd say Schwartz, you cannot afford to lose him.
Yeah, Schwartz talked about it the other day in the locker room. The right tackle, it doesn't get any love. It is almost as important right nowadays as the left tackle because of the way linebackers move. Sometimes the best linebackers will be on that side. Let's go to number four. Sean, we'll start with you again.
My fourth was D Ford. I need D Ford to be 100% D Ford. I need D Ford to be a healthy D Ford.
He looks a little banged up again.
Little bit. I mean, you know, like
hard to get a full season.
A little wear and tear on his body. Even that play when we was talking earlier about the fourth quarter, the 9 minute 41 second mark, first and 10, Wilson scrambles for 26 yards on that play. D Ford, you know, explodes off the ball, gets up the field, but he gets way beyond the quarterback. Usually D Ford does a counter move once he's a few yards past the quarterback, and he's able to wrap back around and, you know, keeping that to like a 5 yard run or a 10 yard run. What would have been acceptable. But, you know, if you see him that play, he kind of, you know, he finished off the play kind of in a loaf mode. Just, you know, as Wilson is running, he just can't catch him and doesn't even really attempt to. So that kind of is a symbol to me that he's getting a little bit wore down, the season's starting to wear on him. So I need him to be whatever he has to do in the playoffs to make sure he's fresh and 100%. If we have to, you know, put him situational for this next game to get him back to 100%, let's make sure the D Ford is ready to roll.
I'm with you on the point, but not with the guy. My number four is Tyreek Hill. I just think there's too much that he does, and we're seeing the impact of Tyreek Hill being a little bit banged up. He has that foot issue still. I don't think he's 100%. Similar with you're saying, I think the Chiefs really need Tyreek Hill to be 100% down the stretch. There's just no player like him in the National Football League.
Mine's is Kelsey. I'm about to die. Mine's is Kelsey.
We got to get you some. You got to get you a break. You've been working yeah, through this.
I'm getting better. I'm much better.
Sean, who's your number three?
Three, I had Chris Jones. You had him as number five. Chris Jones, I had that impact of being able to hit the A and B gaps, create immediate pressure up the middle. He's almost, you know, kind of like Aaron Donald. He's unblockable single when you go one-on-one. So any kind of five-man front or four-man front, we can single him up on a guard, a tackle, or center. He's almost, I mean, pretty much been unblockable. He brings immediate pressure up the middle, and I think that's probably something that's needed when you face as many of these, you know, passing offenses in the playoffs.
My number three is Eric Berry. And again, similar in the point from last time on both sides of it for Sean and I, we need a healthy Eric Berry. I think he can make an impact. He really felt like he was fresh in that first game. And I just don't know in the second one when you increase those snaps. I mean, he must have been in pain to not have been on the field toward the end of that game on Sunday. So I just worry the impact. And, you know, the Chiefs really need him. I have him at number three.
My number three is Chris Jones. When you have an elite interior pass rusher, that guy is very, very vital to what they're doing. I mean, I like edge rushers a little bit more, but having an elite interior pass rusher is very vital. They lose him. That's a huge part of their pass rush they're missing.
Sean, who's your number two?
Number two, I had Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek Hill, like we said, we want him fresh and ready to go. He does so many things on our offense, from the motion, from the ghost motion, from the reverse. He makes defense account for him all over the field. Just moving him forces the other team to have to communicate. And we talk about home field advantage. Imagine a defense trying to communicate just with hand signals based off our shifts and motions. The chance of you being right and not making some mental errors on the back end is highly improved when that guy's not on the field. So I love Tyreek Hill's effect to this team. And with the, you know, wide receiver, especially until Watkins come back, you see, we are kind of thin at the wide receiver position without him out there.
My number two is Kendall Fuller, a guy that they didn't have last game, came down to a game-time decision. They chose not to play him. And it's not because Kendall Fuller is this outstanding player. I don't think he is the Marcus Peters guy. And I'm talking about still in Kansas City Peters, not the Peters that plays for L.A. now, because he's just not as good that we thought that Fuller was going to be. But he's above average. And to me, you can't get down to that depth in the playoffs. I just don't want to see the Chiefs getting down to having to play a Steve Nelson, and then you're playing Charvarius Ward. I just worry about opposing quarterbacks when you get down to the nitty gritty, picking on a guy like Ward in a big spot. So I like the combination that you have of Fuller and then Nelson and then Ward if you want to go with him above Scandrick. But again, Fuller is so important because as you get to the depth, you don't want these rookies playing in the playoffs against some of the better quarterbacks in the league.
I'll take D Ford at number two just because, for me, the edge rusher being able to get around and put pressure on the quarterback, forcing him to step up into guys like Chris Jones is very, very important. Mobility is something that a lot of these quarterbacks are starting to really get up to now, especially a guy like Deshaun Watson. So if you can force him to have to step up into a guy like Chris Jones, that's important. If they don't have to step up into the pocket, they have a lot more time.
Sean, give me 5-4-3-2 and then your number one.
And number one, I'm...
Let's start with your five.
Oh, five was Mitch. Four was D Ford. Chris Jones was number three. Tyreek Hill was number two. And number one, not to be overdone or outshine, my man Travis Kelce. Kelce, to me, has been the most unique tight end this season. When you can have a tight end that plays at the level of tight end he's been playing at, you're able to control the other team's safeties, so you can determine how and when they enter the box. You also can control how the safeties can help or not help with your number one wide receiver as far as Tyreek Hill when Watson's healthy, when Watkins is healthy, how fast a safety can go to help a cornerback with them. So he can affect the defense in so many different ways from a tight end position. And then when it's time to do the screen passes mm-hmm. and the shovel passes, he's effective in the red zone. He's also a good blocker. He's been the cog that's made everything go smoothly in Andy Reid's offense. Like we said, without talking about Patrick Mahomes, his availability on this list, I think Travis Kelce is the number one most valuable asset when you talk about the Chiefs team going in the playoffs.
Chris Jones, Tyreek Hill, Eric Berry, Kendall Fuller, and my number one is Travis Kelce. And for a lot of the reasons you just said, and we've seen this movie before, I don't want the Chiefs to lose him like they did last year and then blow another lead in the playoffs. I think he's the most important player. I talked about how Tyreek Hill does things that every other player in the National Football League doesn't. I believe even more the case of that with Travis Kelce. The Chiefs cannot afford to lose their best weapons and one that is just so unique when it comes to all of the teams. And I'm including you, New England Patriots, who have a fragile, fragile tight end that you want to say compares to this guy. Nobody does. And that's why he's my number one.
Mine's starting from five, Mitchell Schwartz, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones. D Ford, number one would be Tyreek Hill. Tyreek does things, as you stated, that you just don't get from a lot of weapons. And I think when he's at 100%, he provides you a threat that's almost unstoppable. Because if he goes deep, you know, if you play him too close, he's gonna go deep. If you play too soft on him, he's just gonna go underneath. He's gonna kill you in space somehow, some way. And when he's healthy, he's the threat in the running game and the passing game. And that's just something that teams just can't stop. So for me, you lose him, this offense is completely different. We've seen the offense the last three games with him hurt, and it hasn't been the same.
All good points. Again, our number ones across were Toot Kelce's and Chris. Picking Tyreek Hill, all good choices. You wish that the Chiefs for this playoff push, for this Super Bowl run, can get 100% healthy. That's why I've been pushing. I wish we would have got that game on Sunday because then you could move forward. They need Sunday again, so we'll see how it happens. When we come back, I want to talk about Sean's favorite guy from another club. That's Baker Mayfield. That's a name we haven't talked about in a while. That's next.
Big at night.
It is Christmas night. I am Pete Sweet. I'm hanging out with Sean Barber. We're filling in for Jay Binkley, Bink at Night. Rocking and rolling till 9 o'clock. When, Sean, where are you going?
I'm going to head to the Cheesecake Factory. I'm going to join me some Buffalo Bites or Buffalo Blast. I think that's what they call. And then hang around for about an hour, watch a little basketball. See if any of our listeners come on by for a slice of cheesecake. So first three guys come up to me and tell me they heard about this on the radio. And we'll share a little cheesecake.
Chris, he's going to be buying 20 pieces of cheesecake.
I said first three people. First three.
You better get there early.
What if they all show up at the exact same
first
time?
First three people. It's three. First three.
You can text
you
us.
You have to fight for it.
You can text us to 69306 Protein House Eat with a Purpose. Text line, Sean will be at the Cheesecake Factory in OP.
Code word is, you'll shoot your eye out.
A little tease for next. We're going to talk about the top 10 Christmas movies of all time. But before we do, let's talk about a little bit about Baker Mayfield. Now, the Browns are out of playoff contention. Got a big game coming up against the Baltimore Ravens. I don't think the Chiefs want to see the Ravens. So it'd be nice if the Browns can win. I think you've actually reached a point in Kansas City where you'd rather see the Ravens than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Never thought we'd be here, but here we are. Browns are out of playoff contention, but Baker got to play Hugh Jackson again this past weekend. Remember, a few weeks back, the Browns defeated the Bengals, won 35-20. Hugh Jackson went up to Baker after the game, tried to get a handshake, dap him up a little bit. Baker was having none of it.
He said, good job, good game. Yeah, that was brief. I didn't feel like talking. Me. I don't know. Left Cleveland, goes down to Cincinnati. I don't know. It's just somebody that was in our locker room asking for us to play for him and then goes to a different team. We play twice a year. Everybody can have their spin on it, but that's how I feel. No, I mean, it's just like any rivalry game. That's just how it is now. That's how I'm going to treat it every time we play them. But it's nothing, you know, there's no hate. That's just how it is. That's how I'm going to treat it. And I think that's how our team should treat it, too.
Fast forward a few weeks, and the Browns are playing the Bengals once again. They do it twice a year. It's kind of like the Raiders a little bit for the Cleveland Browns. Browns win 26-18 after a Baker Mayfield 66-yard pass to David Njoku, finishing 27-37, 284 yards, three touchdowns in the game. And after the pass to clinch the game, there he is on the sidelines, staring at Hugh once again, who had taken a job with the Bengals. Here's Baker after the game. Not wanting to talk that much this time.
60-something yard pass to David that sealed it. The TV camera showed you kind of looking at the Bengals sideline and backpedaling. Was that directed at Hugh, or what was going on?
No idea what you're talking about.
Seriously?
Yeah.
It's kind of trending on social media. You were staring at them.
That's all right. We won. David didn't score in that play. David?
Now, Sean, I want to get your reaction to this, because you're not necessarily a Baker guy. I know sometimes you like what Shannon Sharpe has to say on Fox Sports. He was not about the stare down after the game.
He needs to grow up. Mm. Skip Bailey, you've been around this game a long time. Name the quarterback. Now, I'm not saying any other position. I'm saying name the quarterback. That's one big with this kind of behavior.
None.
These kind of antics.
None. I give you none, but I'm going to go ahead.
At some point in time, he's going to have to grow up. Hugh was fired. But like I said, Skip, I can't verify this. Somebody told Baker Mayfield something that Hugh Jackson said. Mm-hmm. For him to continue this, Hugh Jackson has been removed from this building for, what, a month? At least a month now, Skip? And for him to carry on this kind of animosity, mm-hmm. this kind of dislike, something was said that got back to Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that I can think of that would cause him to continue to carry this on. I get it. Baker Mayfield is not the only guy that's ever played with a chip on his shoulder. Baker Mayfield is not the only guy that's felt he's been wronged at some mm-hmm. point in time during his playing career by a high school coach, college coach, NFL coach.
Yep.
He's not the first. He won't be the last. Mm-hmm. But to be this blatant and openly demonstrative mm-hmm. about his disdain mm-hmm. for a particular coach, I can't say that I've ever seen this in my 14 years of playing.
Fox Sports Undisputed, what do you think?
I can appreciate Shannon Sharpe's take on that. Kind of feel the same way. I'm not going to speculate on what was said or not said to Baker Mayfield. But, I mean, the kid was taken number one overall, right? I mean, he was the first pick taken in the draft. I mean, what kind of chip should you have on your shoulder being the number one draft pick by an organization?
I think it is more, from what my understanding of the situation is, it's more of a thing where he's upset that Hugh went to a rival and so fast. I mean, you're in the Browns locker room. Like, think about it if it was the Chiefs, right? You're in the Chiefs locker room. You end up firing a coach. Firing, so let's be clear about that. And then he goes to the Raiders 2 weeks later, and he had worked so closely to the quarterback. It sounds like something like that. I tend to agree with Shannon, and you can't really speculate, but it seems like there's a little bit more there that hasn't really reached the surface yet.
Yeah, maybe a reason why he wasn't, you know, given the starting position off the top. You know, I think they went with Tyrod Taylor for a few weeks first and made, you know, Baker still have to earn his position.
Well, you saw in Hard Knocks. Do you watch Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I watched it.
There was a moment where he just walks up to him in the middle of the day and goes, "You see that guy? He's getting here at 6 a.m. What time are you getting here?" That kind of would have rubbed me the wrong way. I just like think there's a different way to say it. Like I don't know, dude. What about you?
No, I think that he needed to hear that. Listen, as an immature player, Baker Mayfield might want to blame Hugh Jackson about all his shortcomings, everything he doesn't have or isn't. But Hugh gave him some very good advice. If you want the guys in this locker room to follow you, you need to be the first in the building. There are other guys here. You're the first overall pick. How are you letting someone else beat you to the building? If you want to be great, then you can't just be satisfied with being good. And, you know, he might take a lot of maybe 90% of the things Hugh Jackson said to him, he let it, like, go out, you know, in one ear, out the other. And, like, you know what, this guy's not going to be here, so I'm going to go ahead and just do what I do. And for him to continue, you know, throughout the game and for different moments, even after the game, to have this personal battle with Hugh Jackson. And Hugh has obviously, like you said, been fired. He moved on. He went back to a situation where he felt comfortable, you know, continue to get himself a paycheck and continue to, you know, coach the game that he loves. It's almost stupid for Baker Mayfield to even need this as something to continue to ignite his fire, to keep him burning and keep him going on. When things ain't going good, when things aren't going in, you know, all his favor, he's going to wish he had some coaches that would be really honest with him about his immature behavior and stuff like that. Because some guys in his locker room actually like Hugh Jackson. Some guys in that locker room probably think Hugh Jackson's an all
right
guy.
Right.
And really don't appreciate their quarterback taking shots at him every opportunity. So, I mean, you can't please everybody. So Baker has to go out and be Baker. But like Shannon said, you can't think of one quarterback in the history of football we know have been successful over a long period of time
right.
with this type of bravado type attitude. And it's the same. I mean, when he came out in the draft, that's one of the things why I didn't think that, you know, the Browns should have picked him for. I think Saquon Barkley should have been the first round draft pick, because I think that arrogance type, it only goes so far before it starts rubbing even your own teammates wrong.
My take is, I don't hate him for it, but I'd rather you have somebody like Patrick Mahomes, who has been trained by Alex Smith and Andy Reid to not do these things. This is never going to be something that you really feel like you'll have to deal with Patrick Mahomes. There are times in the game where Patrick Mahomes flexes and things like that, but then off the field, it's over with. He always leaves it in the game, and it seems like quarterbacks respect him for that. They just traded jerseys with Russell Wilson. So I look at Mahomes, and I think that's the quarterback you want. I think Mayfield's going to be talented, but I think there is a little bit of a maturity that he has to develop as he goes along here. When we come back, we got one more segment to go. I mean, if you've been with us for a long time, you know we gave you the best Christmas gifts we've ever received. I told you what the best 10 songs in Christmas are, according to myself. Now I'm going to give you the top 10 Christmas movies as we wrap up Christmas night. It's 610 Sports Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Big at night.
Last year for Christmas, I got a Barbie and my very own big girl bike. Sometimes moms and dads have a hard time buying presents for their kids, and they need help from Santa and the Salvation Army. When you give to the Salvation Army, you help a child like me.
Every year, thousands of children and their families are assisted because of donors like you. Your gift to the Salvation Army can be made at any Red Kettle or by going online to salarmymocan.com. That's salarmymocan.com.
If you're spending your money on heating and cooling, my friend, there's a better way. Thermal King Windows. Call 1-888-KING-WIND.
Call Thermal King Windows for the perfect solution to your window problems. No other replacement window will save you more money, look better, or last longer. Thermal King Windows are guaranteed never to stick, rot, warp, fade, or fail. They always look new and require no maintenance. Now that's a perfect window. Give them a call at 1-888-KING-WIND or find out more online at ThermalKingWindows.com.
Thermal King Windows, call 1-888-KING-WIND.
Everybody buckle up. Buckle up. Buckle up. Buckle up.
Everybody
buckle up. Buckle up. Buckle up. Everybody, buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Can we go to the store?
Buckle
Mom,
up.
Can we get some ice cream?
Buckle up.
Everybody.
Everybody, buckle up.
Everybody, buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but remember, you're in control. Stand firm. Only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you haven't checked out 610sports.com lately, you're missing out on the fastest growing sports website in Kansas City.
Is it awesome?
It's pretty awesome.
Our page views have jumped by over 2.2 million in 1 year.
Wow.
How? We've got news and opinions about the Chiefs and Royals. Plus, use it to get shows or interviews you may have missed on our new, super easy to use on-demand page. Plus, all the information on our contest. And we've given away everything from trips to cash.
Cha-ching!
Check out 610sports.com.
We are shutting down Bink at Night here on 610 Sports Radio. Pete Sweeney, Sean Barber, Chris Unocero behind the glass. Bit of breaking news before we get into the top 10 Christmas movies of all time. LeBron James is indicating an apparent serious injury. There's a video circulating on social media that says him mouthing the words, "I felt a pop." So LeBron James, the best player in the NBA, could be missing extended time. And I wish there were a NBA team in Kansas City.
Yeah, they said it was a groin injury.
Groin injury. That stinks. Because he's right on the cusp maybe of trading for Anthony Davis.
Maybe not trading this year, but...
Who knows?
I mean, it certainly is... it's not... If you're a Lakers fan, this is the worst thing that could happen to you on Christmas.
You just get the best player. This is the worst.
Your team is marginally competitive, and you're in that conference.
And it seemed like they were just turning the corner, too. This is like a lump of coal.
I mean, they weren't... I mean, you weren't going to compete for a championship with just LeBron. You needed another star there. Right. And then LeBron.
You need at least LeBron, though.
Yeah.
I'm not a medical doctor, but I must call that a sports hernia.
That would be pretty bad. That would end his season, and it would be pretty disastrous there for their season. And it'd probably be tough for them to get another star there.
I like LeBron James.
I mean, I like him, too. He's not my favorite player.
I hope it isn't serious.
Lakers have no chance without him, so.
No, not at all.
They're not going to have a chance in this game without him.
No.
They're up 76-71.
They were just up by 14 a couple minutes ago.
The Warriors won this game. Well, let's get into some happier news. Sorry, LeBron. Top 10 Christmas movies of all time, starting with number 10, Sean. I know you've seen this one, Home Alone 2 in New York.
I get them a little mixed up. Home Alone 2, I get it. Yeah, I get the sequels mixed up.
Home Alone 2 is the better one.
I don't know. They kind of both run it. I don't know who's doing well. I know he's alone both times. They forget about him.
Chris, you're not going to agree with this list, it looks like. Home Alone 2, to me, is almost like a replica of number one. It's still good, but you can just they're trading actors.
I think it's better. I'm not a real big fan of New York, but I thought it was like the perfect setting for that movie. And, like, there was a lot of really cool characters there. The Bird Lady was cool. I thought it was a really good movie.
I do like the Bird Lady.
It's probably my second favorite Christmas movie. So yeah, I'm actually a big fan of this one.
Number 9.
Hey kids, I heard on the news that an airline pilot spotted Santa's sled on its way in from New York.
You serious, Clark?
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, a classic.
Yeah, that was Cousin Eddie. You serious, Clark? Right, Cousin Eddie.
That's a drop. That's become a drop in Kansas City with ties to Clark Hunt.
Never seen it.
What?
It's good.
I haven't seen it.
Go home and do yourself a favor after you stop at the Cheesecake Factory and Sarpino's in the casino.
I think I'm good.
Number 8, Edward Scissorhands. I love it. I know a lot of people haven't seen it. If you haven't seen it, give it a chance. It's a little dark, but I enjoy it.
I actually didn't know this was a Christmas movie.
I didn't either.
I've seen it. I didn't know it was a Christmas movie.
Pete just threw it in there. He liked it a lot, and he was like, you know what? I got a spot right here.
I liked it. I thought it was
you can
movie.
Make anything at Christmas.
I got a spot right here.
Number 7. A Charlie Brown Christmas. It doesn't get any better than Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah, I know all about Charlie Brown.
I mean, if it doesn't get any better, why is it not number 1 on your list?
I mean, it doesn't get any better when it comes to warming the heart, but it is not the top Christmas movie of all time.
It seems
Come
like
on.
It's contradictory there.
Oh, my goodness.
I actually have one of those pitiful Christmas trees at the office desk where I work at during the week. I got a little Charlie Brown Christmas tree that my coworkers let me put up. Single ornament. It's pitiful.
I think I saw a picture of that the other day.
You saw it back in the background?
Yeah.
Got a little Linus blanket
nice
wrapped
job.
Around it.
Number 6, It's a Wonderful Life. A lot of good lessons in that movie. Just be grateful, you know?
I don't think I saw that movie.
Never seen it.
Sorry.
Guys, that's like the number 1 movie on the TV around Christmas time.
Yeah.
I think Miracle on 34th Street is usually the number 1 movie. I've seen so many Miracle or some sort of spinoff or something like that. I think that's number 1.
Number 5.
Alphabetically. Aardvarkian, Abakanesia who? I hate you!
How the Grinch Stole Christmas. So good.
This is the Jim Carrey version sucked.
Oh, my God. That's the version I'm talking about. I love that version.
That's the original, man.
No, the original is the cartoon version from back in the day. The cartoon version is dope. I love that version.
I need some people.
No, I need the Boris Karloff version. That's the good one. The one with Jim Carrey, that sucked.
I like the Jim Carrey version.
Number 4 is my favorite Christmas movie of all time. And I don't think a lot of people have even seen it. But The Santa Claus, underrated. Underrated.
It's a good movie.
Tim Allen.
It's a good movie.
Tim Allen.
Turns into Santa Claus slowly. The movies after that are trash, but
2 was not bad. 3 sucked. 3 was stupid. But 2 wasn't bad. I liked it.
We're at the top 3 of the top 10 Christmas movies. Number 3.
A super shower washing every body part with actual soap, including all my major crevices, including in between my toes and in my belly button, which I never did before but sort of enjoyed. I wash my hair with the Don't Formula shampoo and use cream rinse for that just wash shine. I can't seem to find my toothbrush, so I'll pick one up when I go out today. Other than that, I'm in good shape.
If you weren't awake, Merry Christmas. Home Alone coming in at number 3. Number 2.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts. The Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Ralphie, what would you like for Christmas?
I want an official Red Ryder carbon action 200-shot range model air rifle.
No, shoot your eye out.
Sean, you got to love you some of Christmas Story.
I watched that 3 times today. Like, I watched it last night before I would go to bed. I watched it when I got up, when I tried to sleep in. Then I just left it on TV. It just stayed on. It was a great movie. Ralphie, the Red Ryder, whatever kind of rifle it is.
I can't watch a movie that much.
It's moments through the movie when the guy puts his tongue to the flagpole and gets stuck, and he gets triple dog dared. So Chris don't even know what that is.
Oh, I know. We did that back in the day.
You got dog dared?
Yeah.
You got double dog dared.
I got triple dog dared.
And then you got triple dared, and then you get triple dog dared.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate highest level.
Don't stick your tongue to a pole.
I mean, if you get triple dog dare, you got to.
Yeah, you have to.
It's either move out of town.
Yeah,
I triple dog dare you to make it 10 cheesecakes when you go to the OP.
We'll see.
The number 1 Christmas movie of all time is Miracle on 34th Street. I mean, it is the season to believe. There's nothing better than a miracle on 34th Street. Sean, do you have any last words for the people?
I know that Miracle on 34th Street has to do with your list of I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Oh, you stop it.
Because the Miracle on 34th Street don't have no brothers in it. I'm sorry. It's 1947.
There's no color in Christmas. No,
a lot right. of these movies
it's a black and white movie, but it's not really any black in the movie. It's just black and white by because there ain't no color. And literally no color. But it's a miracle. On 34th Street.
Has this been the best Christmas you've ever spent?
I told you. I got the best Christmas gift ever this Christmas.
Pete Sweeney.
Not
you and I.
Not Pete Sweeney.
On Christmas night. Spending it together.
Secret Santa at the Barber Almonds. Household.
You were late.
I was late for great reasons. I love my family.
Big
I'm
week.
A family man.
It's a big week for the Chiefs. They clinched the number one seed by defeating their number one rival, the Oakland Raiders.
I'll be at the stadium waiting for y'all. Whoever wants to come out, come to the stadium, man. Let's the Sea of Red needs to be roaring.
He's Sean Barber. Thank you to Chris Unocero behind the glass. I'm Pete Sweeney. I really enjoyed doing this. I've always wanted to do this. Merry Christmas to all.
Ho, ho, ho.
And to all a good night.
Merry Christmas.
Big at night.